That was a great song, Patricia. The song you sang a while ago that the Holy Spirit gave you and you wrote, and the song that Kara sang a few moments ago is certainly what we're going to be speaking about in the book of 1 John tonight. Love, the unconditional love that we have when we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. As we continue our studies in the book of 1 John, of course, John is writing to these Christians, and he's trying to be a great encouragement to them. And even though there have been all of these various false things that have been taught to them that had crept into the church, John comes along to encourage and to set straight the truth of the gospel. And in our passage for this evening in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, we read these words, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Would you bow with me as we pray? Eternal Father, strong to save, we come once again tonight to say thank you for love. Thank you for the incredible cost, the price of our religious freedom, our religious liberty, for you went to the cross willingly to lay down your life, to shed your blood, to cover our sins, and then to rise from the dead. Father, to give us a living, eternal hope. Tonight, oh God, as we think about so many different religions out there in the world tonight, we realize that so many of them are based upon a work situation of how we can work, how we can become more righteous, and all of those kinds of things. I'm thankful for Christianity, God, because it is not about a works salvation. God, it is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, the one who lavishly poured out his life so that we might have eternal life. Tonight, as we look at loving our neighbors, may we, Father, get a sense of what John is trying to say to these early Christians and to us some 21 centuries later. Oh God, speak to our hearts this evening about the importance of love, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I think one of the biggest things that we see in our world today, we live in a very harsh world. We live in a world that is certainly tottering and teetering on the brink of who knows what. But it's a world that's so much different than many of us once grew up in, because it has become such a self-centered, selfish world that we live in. But you see, John is trying to express to us that genuine love versus this worldly self-love is found in these following verses. In fact, in John chapter 13, verse 35, John says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." If you have love one for another. You know, it's easy to love people that love us. It's easy to love people who see things the way we see things, but how much tolerance do we have of love for those that are different than we are, those who see things differently than we see? We're living in an ever-changing world. Jimmy Carter, when he was president, made a statement once. He said, "We must adapt ourselves to the changing times, but still hold on to unchanging principles." You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the immutable God. That is another one of his characteristics besides his omnipotence and his omnipresence and his omniscience and his holiness and his divinity, and he came also in humanity, the God-man, yet without sin. You see, one of the things that we see tonight in this passage, if you have love one for another. I think someone wrote a song not too awfully many years ago, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, but the kind of love that the world needs tonight, it's a godly love. It's an agape love. That is the Greek word for an unconditional love that God has for us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Let me ask you a question tonight. In a crowded out world where we have crowded out the Christ, do you love the Lord supremely? Do you love him with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? You see, it's okay to have some of the things of this life, but Jesus wants us to love him first and foremost, supremely above everything else. Verse 38 says of Matthew 22, "This is the first and great commandment." And then verse 39 says, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 40, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus just summed up all of those laws, and he summed them up by first saying to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second one is likened to it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I don't know, there are a lot of people in the world tonight that don't love themselves. You see, God loves you tonight. God loves you more than you could ever even begin to imagine how he loves us. He loves us in spite of us. He loves us in spite of what we are. He loves us in spite of how we are. You see, our love for one another, the way we treat each other, the way we love each other, that demonstrates the strongest proof, I believe, that a person genuinely has a personal relationship with Christ. To love. Someone wrote the song many years ago, "My Task." Ken, I don't know if you know that song or not. To love someone more dearly every day, to ponder o'er a nobler thought and pray, and then smile when evening comes. This crowns my task, to love someone deeply and dearly. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, John says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. The brethren there, he's speaking of those Christians, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He who does not love his brother abides in death. He's speaking about who is your brother, who is your neighbor. It's anyone that we come in contact with. Do you love those out there who may not agree with you, who may not think like you think, who act like you act? You see, I believe one of the greatest demonstrations that you and I can give, as I mentioned this morning, it's something that is caught rather than taught sometimes. People know if you love them. Let me tell you, a pet knows if you love it, right? I mean, you know, your pets know if you love them. Why? Because of the way you treat them, the way you respond to them. And John is writing, and John wants to be an encourager, and he wants these Christians to demonstrate love. Why? So that others around them that do not have this personal relationship with Christ might see into their very heart and into their very soul this incredible, this dynamic love, this agape love, this unconditional love. And so first of all, in verse 16 of our text for this evening, we see that this brotherly love is extensive. In verse 16, as I read a few moments ago when he said, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Both of those songs tonight that were sung demonstrate that, as well as the ones that Ken led us in. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let me tell you, brotherly love is extensive. In a cold, cruel world that you and I live in, where people are mostly wrapped up within themselves, and he speak to us here about how we ought to live our lives so that others would see Christ living in us and through us. If you'll remember back over in the book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, Cain gives the biblical answer of what selfish love is all about. And Jesus sets the standard opposite of Cain, who killed his own brother there in the book of Genesis. Genesis 4:8 says, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." You see, that is a selfish love that Cain exemplifies. It is a love that is not an unconditional love. It is a love that is not an agape type of love. Jesus loved us so much. He set the standard of what love is all about. And Jesus loved us even whenever we didn't love him. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die on an old rugged cross so that you and I might be able to have a living hope. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13, John said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Do you love your friends as much as you love yourself? Do you love them that much? Odell Hooper was here in the service this morning. Odell is 96 years old. For some reason, we missed him this morning, because he really would have been the oldest father, and I will do something for him in recognition of that. But if any of you saw the whole page in the Duncan Banner, did anybody see that about his life as being a veteran of this nation and all that he experienced? Let me tell you, he knew what it was like to give in sacrificial love for this great nation that you and I live in. Let me tell you, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I never read that verse that I'm not reminded. My grandfather, who was born in 1890, grew up in Kentucky, and he went off to World War I. And there in the Argonne Forest, he was wounded in action. He was gassed. During that time, the rest of his life, he died in his 60s from emphysema that was created by the gas that he received during World War I. And I remember in an article that he wrote about the war and the heat of the battle there in the Argonne Forest, he shared how that one of his friends stepped out in front of a bayonet that was meant for my grandfather, and his friend died that day. He later penned about that experience. I have that. I've read through it many times. I've thought about the sacrifices of that. And then he wrote a poem at the end of that, and one of the very last verses of that poem, he said, "Will I ever forget him? I wonder. I wonder as we march through the mud, the sledge, and time." He said, "Will we meet in that final review up yonder somewhere on the banks of the river of time?" You see, when I think about love, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. In the book of Romans, Paul understood that. Paul spoke to the Roman church in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what did Christ do? He loved us with an unconditional love. Christ died for us." Love is extensive. Let me tell you, love knows no boundaries. Love knows no limit. Genuine love sets no limits. In fact, secondly tonight, we see brotherly love is not only extensive, it has no boundaries, it has no limits, but in verse 17, we see that brotherly love is expensive. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You see, love freely opens its hands, godly love opens its hands and gives always everything to those out there that are in need. You see, if we have the resources and we see somebody out there in need and we don't reach out and meet that need, in Jesus' name, we have not demonstrated genuine love. In James chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, James said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? You see, it's easy to look at somebody in need and say, well, God bless you, I'll be praying for you. But folks, whenever we have the resources there to reach out and to meet those needs, then we are standing guilty of not demonstrating this agape love that the Bible speaks so much about. And then thirdly for tonight, not only is brotherly love expensive, you see, John writes in verse 18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, thirdly, brotherly love is expressive. It's expressive. Genuine love doesn't just talk. Genuine love acts. Without Calvary, John 3:16 would be nothing but empty words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at that. For God so loved the world. God stepped out of heaven's glory and he entered a very selfish, sinful culture and environment. God who is holy, God who could not look upon sin. What did God do? God came in the person of Jesus Christ to this earth in order to bring redemption and forgiveness for sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who is that? Jesus Christ. That whoever believes in him, you, me, the whole world, if they would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to notice the phrase there, that whoever believes in him, notice, should not perish. Let me tell you, the world should not perish because Christ made a way at Calvary. And he gave an opportunity for the world to believe in him. But the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to them that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Let me tell you, brotherly love is expressive. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he encouraged them. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you bearing the burdens of somebody out there? I just think about all the people this past week that I have had a privilege and an opportunity to get to be a part of their lives and to try to help them. Some of them, it was grief and death and tragedy. Some of them, It was because there was a great need in their life, a single mother trying to raise her children. And because of a health issue that struck, was not able to meet the needs. And we've ministered to her and those children who come to be a part of our youth group. It's because of your love. It's because of your giving that we are able to help bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, Paul said to that church, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, there are countless ways you and I can show the reality of love for people out there. Real love doesn't just talk. Real love acts. Let me tell you, let me leave you with this question. How is your love life this evening? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? And secondly, do you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself? Can we honestly say tonight, we love like Christ would have us love? 1 Corinthians 13, I did a wedding last evening for a couple that's been visiting our church. And I used this, and now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is extensive. It knows no limits, no boundaries. Love is expensive. It costs Christ everything to give you and me eternal life. And love is expressive. It doesn't just talk, but it acts and it reaches out and makes a difference in the hearts and lives of others. Amen. God bless you for being here this evening. Would you stand as we pray together as Ken comes to lead us? Maybe you're here tonight and you want to make a decision for Christ or come and join this church. Would you just bow your heads as we pray together?